Please note this is a pre-recorded show, therefore we will not be taking any phone calls. Today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at U.S. President Barack Obama's legacy in Africa. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Hello and welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Esther Githu Ewart in for Shaka Sali, who is on assignment.
Well, hello to you, Esther, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about President Barack Obama's legacy in Africa and, to some extent, the U.S. And coming up later in our STA inbox, Mariama.
Our audience will have their say. They've written to us through their emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. So we'll reveal some of them, and that's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Mariama. But let's take a look at President Obama's historic 8 years in the White House and what they have meant for Africa. Paul Sisco has more.
Not yet a U.S. senator, a little-known state senator from Chicago, walked onto the national political stage at the Democratic Party's presidential convention in 2004.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Some 5 years later, America's 44th president and first African-American president took the oath of office. As president, Barack Obama made 4 trips to sub-Saharan Africa, visiting 6 countries, challenging its leadership on human rights issues, gay and women's rights, and on good governance. July 2009, in Ghana, he met with President John Atta Mills and famously told Parliament, Africa doesn't need strong men, it needs strong institutions.
Development depends on good governance.
Early in his second term, he went to Senegal, South Africa, and Tanzania, meeting with Senegal's President Macky Sall, South Africa's Jacob Zuma, and in Tanzania, President Jakaya Kikwete.
When you've got good governance, when you have democracies that work, sound management of public funds, transparency and accountability to the citizens that put leaders in place, it turns out that that is not only good for the state and the functioning of government, it's also good for economic development.
Obama brought U.S. and African business leaders together. He unveiled the Power Africa initiative, aimed at bringing more reliable electricity to the continent, worked on trade agreements, discussed democratic development, and meeting global security challenges with his African partners. A high point for the president's family was their tour of Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for 27 years. The U.S. president returned to South Africa later in the year and attended the memorial for Madiba. Nelson Mandela died on December 5, 2013.
He changed laws, but he also changed hearts.
July 2015, President Obama made a long-anticipated visit to Kenya, his father's birthplace. He met with President Uhuru Kenyatta and spoke to young people at the Global Entrepreneurial Conference. He next addressed the African Union in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the first U.S. president to do so.
And I'm convinced that nations cannot realize the full promise of independence until they fully protect the rights of their people.
As time passes, the Young African Leadership Conferences, YALI, and growing network may prove to be his most significant contribution to U.S.-African relations. Or the Power Africa Initiative, electrifying more of what was once called the Dark Continent. The U.S.-African Leaders Summit and public-private trade agreements reached in Washington and business relationships forged with partners on the continent. Or, under his watch, bipartisan renewal of the African Growth and Opportunities Act, reducing tariffs on U.S. and African imports. On democracy building, the Obama legacy is mixed, or perhaps it's just too early to judge. U.S. support helped bring about the first democratic transfer of power in Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation. Contrast that with South Sudan. Despite a hard-brokered comprehensive peace accord, many consider the world's youngest democratic nation a failed state. Several African leaders in power when Obama was first elected president remain two U.S. terms later, entrenched with power well past their constitutionally mandated time, continuing to thwart the democracy and institution building needed for their nation's prosperity and freedom. What Obama has done while in office is help shift the view of a purely troubled Africa to what it is, a continent of many nations, each vital to the security and prosperity of the United States and the world. Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. And joining us here in the studio are Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders. Sanders served as U.S. ambassador to Nigeria and has worked in Sudan. She has extensive knowledge on the continent of Africa. Professor Kwaku Nwama of the School of International Studies at American University. Kwaku is a native of Ghana. And Ngozi Bell, an advocate with U.S. Small Business Administration. Ngozi hails from Nigeria and has a wealth of experience on U.S.-Africa business relations. Welcome to you all.
Thank you, Esther.
Later in the program, we will give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. And let's keep the ball rolling here, Ambassador. I'm going to start with you because analysts say Obama paid very little attention to Africa in the first 4 years of his presidency. Why do you think he did that, and has he made it up, you know, did he find time to make that up for the continent in the last 4 years?
I think that reality has to play a part in that answer. When Obama took the presidency, you had a lot of very key or heavy domestic challenges that he had to face. I was actually in Nigeria as ambassador when he did his Ghana trip and the Ghana speech. And I think that that set the stage for what he wanted to do. I think if you understand geopolitics well enough, you understand that it takes time to turn the corner. So I think I would give him a break on that. I think he was setting the stage for some of the things he was able to do in the second term.
Again, Kwaku, maybe you want to weigh in, because a lot of people say the lack of attention that we saw maybe from President Obama in those past 4 years, trying to make up for it in the last 4 years hasn't really made such a huge impact. Some of the programs we're going to look at, like Yali and others, came in his second term and perhaps don't really have a lot of impact. Your take?
Yes, as Ambassador said, the expectations were quite high. There was no way he was going to meet those expectations. I remember when Obama was inaugurated, BBC had a show where Africans were calling, and somebody said, I hope he can help me open a barbershop. There's no way he can help you do that. So the expectations were very high. So there was no way he was going to meet that. But there are other reasons, too. He inherited a crisis, two wars, a recession, and those are constraints. And it's very hard to maneuver around some of these things in the first term. There are things that he could have done that he didn't do, and we can get into some of those later. And there's also the question of whether he was comfortable embracing his African identity to begin with. Nick Wonderwall of Cornell, for example, has written that he wasn't comfortable doing that because of the Betha talk and the questions about whether, you know, he was born here or not. So his team saw that as a limitation, and so he wasn't rushing into that right away, and so that could have been some of them.
Again, you would add something on that. I think that that's kind of unfair to the president to say that he wasn't embracing his Africanness. That would be like saying I'm not either. I do think that the reality is he had incredible economic crisis to deal with. He had a couple of wars, and I think the expectations did not take into reality what was actually happening on the ground. I do think he needed the first term to set the foundation for what he was able to try to achieve in the second term.
Okay, let's move to Ngozi, who has been dealing with business and U.S.-Africa business, you know, connectivity there. But again, Ngozi, when you look at it, with all that expectation, like Kwaku says, a Ghanaian or someone from Africa said, I hope he can help me set up a barber shop or something. But Africa was also seen as somehow a half-partner when it comes to U.S.-Africa business relations. As opposed to being an equal partner, what is your take on that when you look at how his presidency has engaged with the continent?
I would actually say that he has elevated the U.S.-Africa discourse. You know, Africa is a very complex continent. And to engage that, you really have to take a step back and decide what is most prolific to pursue on the continent. And I think that what the president tried to do was first ensure that he had solidified the base in the U.S. with respect to the issues he had to deal with, and then move on to critical matters on the continent. And when we look at in 2010, for example, when he launched YALI, there had never been anything like that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you had 1,000 young Africans coming to the U.S. to learn and to work on some best practices that they could take back home. And many of these young people are thriving economically because of that. And I just want to say something also, something I think that is extremely unprecedented was the 2014 U.S.-Africa Leadership Summit. It took a lot to plan that and to execute that and get, you know, 50 African heads of state to come out here to discuss business ideals and business opportunities that led to almost a $14 billion enablement with the U.S.-Africa Business Forum, which is something that's continuing. So I think Africa is complex. I think Obama had, there was a lot of expectations on him, but I actually think that he brought dignity to the engagement, making Africa more of a trade partner than a partner that most people would look at in terms of aid.
Ngozi, you mentioned YALI, and that's one of the flagships of Obama's initiative for Africa, which the youth of Africa love him for that, and they feel connected. But do you think it came in too late, Kwaku, perhaps, too late, that it may not have any impact when he leaves office?
Well, when the president takes office, they are working with 4 years, and then if they're lucky, they get a second 4 years. So you inherit a war, two wars, and a recession. You focus on your domestic agenda, and to the extent that he could, a little bit of foreign policy comes in. Africa is complicated, as my sister here just said. You can't have one policy for the entire continent. There are various areas that you have to focus on. You can see that Obama was very active, even within the first term, in the Sahel, where there's a lot of instability because he inherited programs from the Bush administration that he had to follow through. So I think in the second term, he has a little bit more of a leeway to put his own agenda on the table. And knowing that there isn't going to be another election, he's freer to embrace the things that he actually wants to do. But the other side of the conversation needs to look at the partners that he had on the continent. Some of the missed opportunities that we identify in the Obama legacy has to do with the lack of strong partners on the continent, leaders that can step up and help him do the things that he wants to do. Good governance. There's an article out talking about his mixed record on democracy promotion, for example. That's true. They've cut AID funding for democracy programs in Africa by about 40%. That's true. But look at the Mo Ibrahim Foundation, for example, that for five straight years, having found a worthy recipient of their $5 million Africa Leadership Prize. There's something going on the continent. And so when you don't have partners that you can embrace and put forward a new vision, it's hard for you to make the kind of progress that you want to do. You want to go to Kenya, right? There's criticism that he didn't go to Kenya early. The president was under indictment. It's very hard for a U.S. president to go in a place until the case is resolved. So there's a lot of extenuating factors that show, that explain where we are.
I'm wondering, Ambassador yes. Renee, you were also involved in even the planning of his last U.S.-Africa Business Forum that took place in New York when he addressed the African leaders on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly in New York. Do you see like there has been any impact coming out of that conference, you know, that summit? Have we seen anything tangible, really, from the African continent arising from that?
I actually think we have, and I would agree with my colleagues here on just about everything they said. I think one of the things about legacy is what gets carried forward into the next administration. And certainly YALI is one that I think all of us would recommend go forward. The one thing I would add to the YALI paradigm is to include engagement with the diaspora here in the United States, which didn't happen, but the powers that be are aware of that. But that's something that needs to be tweaked. On the business side, I think he's done a tremendous job. I'm actually writing a book now on the impact of Africa SMEs, both on the continent and here in the United States. And I think that he raised the importance of having this strategic business relationship with the African continent, knowing that for job creation, knowing that for the growth of the middle class, it's got to be a business-to-business connection. So I think he did that, and I do see those things as things that can move forward. And the last point I want to make is one thing. I've worked for both Republican and Democratic administrations as a chief of mission, as an ambassador. And one of the areas where we've had the most bipartisanship on has been the Africa region. Even today, we have Electrify Africa, which is a bipartisan legislation. We have AGOA. So I'm hoping that that same kind of spirit of bipartisanship to keep some of these things continues into the next administration.
On that point, but let me take a short break now. We pause for a short break, and we'd like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we're tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Obama Africa. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders, and this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
And welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about President Barack Obama's legacy in Africa. My guests are Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders, Professor Kwaku Nuoma, and Ngozi Bell. So let's take that point again and look at the impact. Ambassador, you were talking about you're writing a book and all the impact that the Obama has had in terms of engaging with African leaders. But going back to the Yalis, first of all, because nobody knows at this point what President-elect Donald Trump has in terms of policy towards Africa. Do you think he will keep the Yali initiative or he will do away with it? And has it really had any impact within the continent of Africa itself, whether he does away with it or he keeps it within the continent itself? What is the impact of Yali, Professor?
I think Trump is going to have to keep a lot of these policies. It's hard to cut policies once they've already been funded and there's a constituency for it. It's easy to promise to get away, to do away with it. But once you're in office, it's a lot harder to do that because you have people who work on these projects. And it's actually gotten a lot of excitement behind it. Well, young people in Africa are excited about engagement with the United States. That's not something that you can just do away with. And that's something that was totally unexpected because Africa has always been a little bit suspicious of American interests and American foreign policy, even though it's not warranted. If you look at George Bush, for example, George Bush did a lot of stuff in Africa. I don't think that we give him the credit that he deserves. And sometimes we also even inflate the impact of Obama a little bit. But this is something that's unique. Barack Obama has inspired young people in Africa, and that's very important. That alone is a major, major, major aspect of his legacy. And because of that, it's going to be hard for Donald Trump to do away with it completely. I understand the need for him to deliver what he promises the people that voted for him, but luckily for us, many of them don't know about Yali. Many of them don't know about Africa, and that's one of my personal disappointment for the Obama project. The fact that throughout the campaign, there was zero mention of Africa. It's an indictment on the administration that has done so much in Africa. You got to shine a light on the things that you do, that Americans have to understand how good things in Africa benefits them. People have to understand. So Barack Obama has done stuff in Africa, but it hasn't found its way into the public discourse of what's important in American foreign policy.
But perhaps, that's part Professor of it. Kwaku, President-elect Donald Trump, being a very good businessman, may want to engage with the continent and continue with the business. So we'll see that. But again, Ngozi, let me come to you because you are an advocate for small businesses. And most of the Yali fellows dealt with businesses, startups here and there. And they have some sort of connectivity within the continent that they're able to reach each other, whether you're in Swaziland or in Nigeria. So do you see the impact of the fellowship helping shape Africa's future in terms of business, technology, or other startups, even in terms of leadership?
I would say the short answer is yes. And one of the things that Yali has done that I think is extremely important is that there's a 250,000 people community that has already been built. So in business, there are a few things that you should care about. One is the ecosystem. Once you build an ecosystem, you start a movement, an economic movement, that takes on a life of its own. So Yali has built an ecosystem that has both investors, has practitioners, has business development, and the whole nine yards, including continuing education. So that's one. I think the second thing also that we should look at Yali is you have brought in very hungry and excited young people to come and take best practices. They formed relationships, they formed networks. So now they have a responsibility themselves to take it the next level. So I had the opportunity to go to Demo Africa and speak to some of the Yali students. And you know, you said something that was extremely important about somebody in Swaziland working with someone in Kenya, and that's happening. They're creating their own networks. Now, more can be done. I think one of the things that the U.S. could do better is to engage some of the government and some of the private entities within the home countries and ensure that these Yali fellows have a continuing opportunity to express what they've learned, perhaps over a period of about 2 years, you know, so that they can actually become practitioners. Can I just add one thing that I think is extremely important? You know, President Obama started the initiative Trade Africa with East Africa, with the East African community, right? And if you look at what happened in 2014 with Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya, and I think Tanzania, $2 billion in exports, you know, were generated in 2014. So it just tells you that the opportunity there is so great that if we open up a conducive environment. And I really think that when you sum up Obama's legacy on Africa, it was really creating an environment that allowed that enablement to happen. And I think that's the most that a leader can really do.
That prompts me to want to discuss the Power Africa Initiative, which is also seen as one of the landmark initiatives of President Obama. Ambassador Renee Sanders, do we know at this point whether there are any successes so far? Because most of the youth in Africa are unemployed, and Africa doesn't have reliable electricity. And so Power Africa, what kind of successes would we be talking about here?
I think that one of the big challenges, I think, for the Obama administration has really been to get the word out about the great things it has done. And one of the things about the new administration coming in, I think we can't usurp the prerogative of any new administration coming in. What we can do is make the best recommendations of what we think in the Africanist community that should go forward. And Power Africa would be top on that list. There has been an additional, 3,000 megawatts or more added to the grid as a result of Power Africa. You have the Electrify Africa legislation. You have a number of off-grid projects that are supported by USAID and the African Development Foundation. And I think we can't shortchange the foundations and the private sector on the continent. They have also stepped up to the plate on entrepreneurship. You've got the Illuminu Foundations. You've got the Van Gogh Foundation, all giving a lot of money to SMEs. And my book is actually not on the Obama legacy. It is on Africa SMEs. And so I've done a lot of research on what's being done on the continent. And I think that the most important pivot, I think, is the focus on the strategic relationship on business with small enterprises and the engagement with the diaspora. That is the new message. I don't think any of the previous administration, and I was in Clinton as well as the Bush, and appreciated my time in both, but I think the thing I see the pivot on is this engagement with the diaspora, both here and on the continent. When I say diaspora, I'm talking about nationals, I'm talking about immigrants, I'm talking about African Americans,
bringing us into the discussion, bringing us into the policy discussion. And what I hope the prerogative of the next president will be to have somebody as the top Africa diplomat that will look at these things and carry some of these things forward.
Mm-hmm. Professor Kwaku, you know you are in international studies, so we throw anything at you, because another of the criticism that has been, laid against U.S. leadership over the years is that when they engage with Africa, they have actually been to countries, or they keep their allies. Some of the allies are known to be, say, Uganda or Rwanda or even Ethiopia for that matter, or Gabon, where the leaders have extended their grip on power. And so even in Ethiopia, where we see a lot of crisis right now coming out of Ethiopia, but they're still very strong U.S. allies. Now, the question is, with President Obama's leadership over the 8 years and his engagement with Africa, do you think he has been able to strengthen the institutions of democracy on the continent?
Well, democracy is a little narrow, but let me look at what Barack Obama has done. Is he's extended U.S. foreign policy with Africa beyond the traditional framework of security and humanitarian assistance. So all the examples that you gave fall within the security umbrella, where you need these countries, even if they're not great democracies. You need them because they are core countries in the regions where they are. But Barack Obama has done something that no other American president has done. He's gone beyond those traditional frameworks and brought in the people, brought in young people, brought in African leaders. I don't know whether that will continue. Even programs that are good programs will die if the new administration has no interest in sustaining them, because you need money to keep all these programs running. So that's one of the big things that he's done. Bringing in, Yali, for example, it's incredible, and that's always going to be there. Look at the Mandela Fellowship that brings young people to Washington. That's a fantastic thing that he's done. So he's brought in ordinary people, particularly the youth, which is the future of the continent. So that's a remarkable thing. And you still have to do the traditional stuff, but you can enlarge the pie, which is what he's done.
Can I say something on security just quickly? Because I think one of the initiatives that doesn't get highlighted a lot is the security governance initiative that the administration has. And I think what will be key is who, as I said before, ends up driving Africa policy at the State Department. There are a number of people that I have in mind that I hope, get considered, who are, very diehard Republican activists, but that they're known in the Africa community. They know Africa, they care about Africa, and they would be good in that position. So I'm hoping that they will look for somebody who is an Africanist that will be in that top diplomatic job. But on security, having been in Nigeria when the uptick in Boko Haram began, I think that the administration has really done a lot to kind of bring the countries together that are affected and impacted by this. You've got not only the anti-corruption campaign, but you've got the security governance initiative, which people don't hear a lot about, which is an extremely great initiative. The amount of money that has gone into the multinational force that's in Mali. So I think that the discussion, Yali is great, we all love it, but there are a lot of other security programs that we hope stay in place going forward.
When we come back after the break, and we'll follow up on that, because Africa has become fragile and all these issues of terrorism, we need to look at that as well. You're tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more on our discussion in a moment. But first, here's Mariama Diallo.
Some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter. Over to you, Mariama, again.
Well, thanks, Esther. Let's go back in time now. When Barack Obama was elected U.S. president in 2008, the event was hailed across Africa. As the son of a Kenyan father, many on the continent considered him one of their own. Now, as the Obama presidency ends, we examine today the impact of his policy on the continent. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what do you think is the legacy of President Obama in Africa? Well, starting off the conversation is a viewer from The Gambia with our letter of the week.
Bolong Kanta Bombo in The Gambia writes, Obama is a symbol of hope for Africans. He brings people together, he's a motivational speaker, and has trained many young Africans to assume future leadership roles to bring about change to Africa. I believe Obama has a lasting legacy in Africa and on Africans in inspiring them to aspire for more positive change in our approach to democratic policies towards national development.
Well, before we move on to more of your comments, let me thank you for using all our social media platform to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOAObamaAfrica. And if you haven't yet, please follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Emmanuel Kachele, who writes that President Obama will be remembered for his true love for Africa. Above all, he will always be a beacon of peace. While we're at it, let's take a look at another one, this time from Turia Hikayo from Kampala, who says, just two words, Obama, disastrous. Well, now to a comment from a Facebook fan. His name is Seth Kwame Boitang in Ghana, who writes, it is not his responsibility, meaning President Obama's responsibility, to change Africa. We have our leaders who must make sure that we as Africans take our destiny into our own hands. Well, Esther and guests, a lot of things, lots of comments, lots of opinions. What do you make of them?
You know, Mariama, one of the most interesting things is that since we posted this topic on the internet, we've seen so many.
Perhaps you can. I have to say, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We've tried to go through all of them. Obviously, we can't just read all of them, but I can assure you, we've gone through most of them. Most. I would say 95%. And thank you very much to our interns also, who just do a fantastic job on a day-to-day basis.
So let's continue, Mariama. Thank you very much, and
sure.
I'll get back to you. I'm sure they're still coming.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know if you want to go to another comment right
no,
now.
No, I'll let you guys okay. actually discuss those, and then we'll come back and look at more.
Ngozi,
okay.
You have any take on any of those Facebook comments or Twitter? Disastrous, really?
Yeah, disastrous, really. That's a good way to look at it. I think that what is so interesting about the Obama legacy on Africa is that no matter what, it's going to be fodder for historians for many years to come. Because it's complex and because it has all kinds of moving parts. But I think that it's really important that Africans remember that this was a president that tried to look at Africa from an equal partner perspective. I think that's probably the biggest stamp of approval that we can give him.
Let me take it back to Mariama. Mariama, do you have another comment from the Facebook or even Twitter?
Absolutely. We'll go to Facebook, and this one is from Yahya Ahmed Gumel from Nigeria, who writes that Barack Obama's legacies are numerous in Africa. However, he says the most conspicuous one is a speech he made at the African Leaders Summit in Ghana, where he said Africa does not need strong leaders, but strong institutions. This, to me, he writes, is the most powerful legacy because of its colossal importance to the economic, political, and social development of the continent. Let's take a look at another one while we're at it. This might be our last one. It's from Didel Katnan from Jos in Nigeria, who actually doesn't agree. He said, Woods needs nothing with legacy. Woods have nothing to do with legacy. What he has done to touch, what has he done, he asked, to touch the lives of Africans? In simple terms, he says, Africa has all it takes to compete with other advanced countries in the world. We have been misled by poor and corrupt leaders who made us fail to realize our potential. Obama has done nothing, rather added salt to injuries. Well, we have to show all sides and all opinions. Once again, your thoughts.
Mariama, thank you very much. I see Professor Kwaku shaking his head.
Well, that's not an uncommon sentiment in Africa. Adebayo in South Africa, the Center for Conflict Resolution, wrote a piece describing Barack Obama's legacy as a politics of symbolism. Empty words and no action. I don't agree with that because symbols are important. But in terms of, if you compare George Bush, who most Africans will probably tell you is not their favorite president, if you compare what Bush did on the continent to speeches that Barack Obama gave, they don't compare. You know, look at PEPFAR, for example, which has saved African lives, programs that really put money on the continent. So speeches are important because they give us vision, but you have to follow up. But as one of our commenters said, it's up to Africans to do these things. I don't think that it's Africans, it's American president's job to develop the continent. It's great if he can help, but this is a job that should fall to Africans. But before we went to break, I wanted to comment on what Ambassador said. Barack Obama's legacy has a gestation period. It's going to take a while for us to see whether the seeds that he's planted will actually yield fruits or not. And that requires a cooperation of the incoming government. So my plea to Africanists is that we cannot disengage from working with the Trump administration. If you're interested in seeing Barack Obama's legacy blossom, you cannot sit this one out. I remember when George Bush was elected, and you would go to conferences, and black people that were working with the administration will show up, and they will get booed. We cannot do that. You have to stay and work. You have to engage. Because if you don't do it, he's going to appoint somebody else who cares less about Africa.
We will continue this discussion. But thanks, Mariama, for bringing us the week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Esther, and thank you to our guests for weighing in. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app.
Thanks, Mariama, and welcome back. Today, we're talking about President Barack Obama's legacy in Africa. And if you're just joining us, our distinguished guests are Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders, Professor Kwaku Nuamah, and Ngozi Bell. So let's continue where we left, because you are talking about security issues. And I'm going to take this back to you, Ambassador Sanders, because during Obama's time in office, Africa has also become a very fragile continent. And with the rise of extremist threats in parts of Africa, the Boko Haram, the Al-Shabaab, how did that shape Obama's relationship with the continent?
I think that in addition to sort of the step up on business, we had a step up on engagement in security. And I do want to wrap my comments around the comment that was made on Facebook about the legacy issue. And I mean, it was a partnership. And of course, the partnership is two parts. You've got to have what we can do, but we also have to have what the continent can do. And that applies to security as well. I think that with the Security Governance Initiative, a lot of money has been put into helping on logistics, helping on training, helping on sharing intelligence across the Sahel, but also including Al-Shabaab and in other areas. I do think that we are at a time in our lives on the continent where we have to really pay attention to the growth of extremism on the continent. It's something that keeps me up at night because I think that extremist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda are playing out their differences on the continent. I think we saw that in Cote d'Ivoire. We see it in the north of the continent in places like Tunisia, certainly in Libya. So we cannot take our eye off the ball on security. So the incoming administration, and again, it goes back to that person in that top diplomatic job knowing Africa. And there are a lot of very good Republicans that are diehard Africanists and love Africa just as much. And I'd like to see one of them in that job because they can just pick up from where things are now. So I would say, you know, increase the intelligence sharing, increase the logistics, increase the training, and increase the engagement, because I don't think we're going to see a diminishing, but we're going to see different kinds of terrorist attacks being played out like we saw in Cote d'Ivoire and like we see in Mali off and on. So we can't take our eye off the ball on security.
So going to you, talking to you, Ngozi, because when you look at some of those landmark initiatives, the YALI and the Power Africa, I'm thinking ahead, post-Obama's presidency. Do you see him pursuing some of those agendas and continuing to work with the Africans in terms of the young people's, you know, leadership abilities, their startup businesses? What kind of agenda do you think he will pursue after his presidency?
Well, that's that, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. So that's a little bit of a hard problem. But your question is extremely important. And I think we have to look at it almost strategically, right? Yeah. So, for example, in 2009, China overtook U.S. as Africa's largest trading partner. You know, what that says is that China recognized that for its own growth, it needed Africa. The European Union signed the EPA, the Economic Partnership Agreement, with about 30-something nations on the continent, giving them priority with products and with solutions into the continent. Why? Because they saw that as a critical growth opportunity. So when we go back to our president-elect Trump, being a good businessman, if you recognize that the world is going after this continent, where 65% of the population is going to be the biggest growth population on the planet, then I assume that he's going to look at it from the perspective of the benefit to this country and how that win-win needs to be created. And I think we have to be hopeful about that. The second thing is with respect to Ebola. Ebola taught us a lot of things. When the Ebola crisis hit, you know, there was a lot of talk that the U.S. did not pay enough attention for about 9 months. And shortly after that, the U.S. released about 3,000 troops. They were training health workers at a clip of about 500 per week. But they did that because they recognized that the global world affects the United States. It affects its economy. It affects its people. So I think we have to remember that whatever is done for Africa, it's really done for America. You know, so when you see that clearly, and I think any good businessman would see that, you're having a place where real economic growth can happen. In fact, you know, we talk about Power Africa. All the Power Africa initiatives that are ongoing, and I know some, especially with respect to renewable off-grid solutions that have been successful small scale, but all of them are creating jobs here. I know a company that started with about 4 people. Today, they're up to 10. So the reciprocal opportunity here is real high-paying American jobs. And one thing I know about America, America understands economics and what benefits it. And that's where I really rest my hope, not so much in America helping Africa, but in America helping itself by engaging Africa.
And Americans need to hear that. Wow. We need to articulate that so the Americans know.
Let me take a short break and we're going to roll this to the end. So a reminder that you're tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
I'm Millar Sega. I'm the host of VOA's The Correspondents, a roundup of the world's top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters. It's really a conversation the same way that you would bring a friend to your home and ask them what's going on. And our correspondents will do that and answer those questions through their own eyes.
That appears a false choice in more ways than one.
We can't actually put you there, but we can come pretty close. In 30 minutes, we'll show you the world.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
And welcome back. Before the break, we had a discussion, but I have a caller from Ghana. Tafa from Ghana, can you hear me? Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Let's hear your question.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you, Tafa.
Yes, my quick question. My question will be based on one of your guests, Professor, who didn't sound like a Ghanaian.
Yes, he is.
See, we are talking We are talking about President Obama's legacy in Africa. Honestly speaking, madam, if you ask ordinary African today, Ghanaian, to point his fingers on President Obama's achievement in Ghana here, it's very, very difficult for African or Ghanaian to tell you that this is what President Obama has done for people of Ghana. But it's very easy to point your fingers on what President which has done in Ghana. So would Professor, one of your guests, if he's a Ghanaian, is aware of what I'm talking about?
Thank you, Tafa. He will answer the question. Let me take one more question from Nigeria, and then we'll throw them out here. So we have another caller from Nigeria. Patrick from Nigeria, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Please ask your question. Hello, Patrick.
Good evening, ma. Good evening, our guest in the studio. That's Patrick, who can't point out in Nigeria. Honestly speaking, Obama left a good legacy for Africans by introducing that African Entrepreneurial Business Initiative. Now, my question is this. Will such initiative business, where they get Africans to come and learn their activity, will it be possible? And if they encourage youth to be what? To be independent. They should fight right for presidential race, not for special assistance and the rest. Now, my announcement. Obama came to Africa with the UNBC Nigeria. What will Nigeria learn that after the 8 years in office by Obama, he didn't visit Nigeria, the giant of Africa? Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Patrick. Both of our callers are animated about their questions, one of them pointing straight to you, Professor Kwaku. So take the question from Tafa, and I'll throw the other one to Ngozi and Ambassador Sanders. So,
Paco. Well, my brother from Ghana. This is interesting because when you go to Accra, there's a road named for George Bush because Ghana got money from the Millennium Challenge account when he was president. And so it's easy to point to concrete things and say, this is what Bush did for Ghana. But I don't want us to undervalue Obama's words and his vision and his leadership and his mentorship because that's also important. Ideas matter as much as concrete stuff. So Barack Obama may not have anything named for him in Ghana now, but his example alone is worth something to our future.
Now, to your question from Patrick in Nigeria. He was animated about his question. Gozi, what's your take?
Well, Patrick, very, very interesting question. And I think Patrick said two things that I think were very important. He talked about entrepreneurship. And when I look at entrepreneurship, Power Africa, for example, placed $7 billion in circulation that generated $20 billion in follow-on capital. And I think that one of the things that entrepreneurship does is that it takes the innate capability of the individuals and allows them create value and revenue. And I think that's one thing that Africans are inherently very good at, but having that partnership with the U.S. acknowledge that, I think, has been very powerful. And I think Patrick sort of alluded to that. But the second thing he said was that why did he not visit Africa? And I think that is a question, honestly, for the president to answer.
because many Nigerians in particular were very disappointed. Nigeria is the biggest economy on the continent in terms of population, in terms of opportunity, and in terms of revenue. So, you know, I can't really say why he decided not to do that. He did send Secretary of State Clinton was there. We know that Ambassador Rice was there. We know John Kerry has been there. So big operators within the administration were there. But honestly, I think the president is going to have to answer that sometime. Because
let me tell you, they were disappointed. Kenyans were totally disappointed that he didn't visit his father's country of birth in his first term. Mm-hmm. He went much, much later. And he never went to Kogelo, where his father was born. However, Ambassador Sanders, you were ambassador in Nigeria. So what's your take about Patrick's question?
I actually think, I respect anybody's point of view, and I think that, entrepreneurship is going to be twofold. It's not only going to be what we can do to help here, but the drive has to come from the continent. It's about partnership, and you're part of the partnership. You know, it's not just a one-way street. It's not about Obama's legacy for Africa necessarily, but what did the partnership produce? And I think that there are some things on the other end that needed more help. We talked about earlier. Certainly, there's a little bit of backsliding on democracy we see now that really worries me over the last couple of years. But this question of where he did not go on the continent, I really think that I put that in the throwaway basket, actually, because even when I was there, it was a question that I got asked all the time, when is he coming, when is he coming? And to me, the point is, even if he doesn't come, it doesn't diminish what you need to do on your end of things. It would have been a nice symbol to happen, but it wasn't the bottom line for me. It was really the bottom line about partnership, what we can do to address development issues, what we can do to address power, and he did what he could do on this end. So on the other side, you see some changes taking place, but we also see a little bit of backsliding on democracy with third terms and elections being postponed and a number of things. So it's partnership is both sides having to step up to the plate.
So, Professor, he did say, actually, in Accra, that Africa does not need strong men.
That's true.
Africa needs strong leadership. So you were burning to continue our discussion prior to the questions, and I like to keep my promises.
Well, here's the thing. Nigeria is such an important country that it doesn't need an American president to visit for it to be validated. So let's put that on the side. But the reason why Barack Obama didn't go to certain places was because politically it was difficult for him to go. He couldn't go to Kenya. Mm-hmm. Your president was indicted for war crimes. He couldn't go there. So he went to Ghana, which was safe because it was a democracy. But even more importantly, look at the African leaders that were invited to participate in G8 meetings. That's much more important than a symbolic visit that a president can have. And I think Africans, we're always looking for outsiders to validate us. I don't think that that's a helpful experience.
When you look at all these comments and the questions we're getting, one of the things that maybe when we're back in Africa, we haven't been to the U.S., we don't know much, it's that we think the U.S. president is supposed to be, but he is the president of the United States. He has to deal with American issues first. And, of course, yes, they extend it to the world. Yes,
But I have to say this, though. There's something about symbolism that's important. Yes. Because symbolism is your identity. Mm-hmm. President Clinton went to Nigeria. President Bush went to Nigeria. So there was something very symbolic. When you do something that's symbolic, you're also giving credibility to that thing. So I have to say that I understand the sentiments around the president not going. And they're valid sentiments. And I think we have to be careful not to discard them. Because when you are identified with someone, you're saying that this person is my partner. So I think that is a question that the president is going to have to answer on his own someday. And I think we kind of have to leave it at that. But I do want to say something that I think is very important. AGOA enabled for the first time on the planet that an African country, Namibia, can export beef into the U.S. Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If we have more incidences like that, that would change the trade relationship between the continent and this country. And I think that's great. And I think that's one of the things that they're also concerned about
with an incoming president. Right. How will AGOA play out? Will this go on? Because most of the Africans that are in partnership within AGOA depend on it to put food on the table.
Right. In terms of a goal, it's been passed by the United States Congress, so it is there at least for 10 years. The question is, how do you build on it? How do you provide the technical assistance? And I'm just going to go back to, you know, whether he went to Nigeria or not, because that one I've had to deal with for so long. And I do put it in the basket over here, because in the end, think about the years that he would have gone. We were trying to ensure that Nigeria had a free and fair election. The same parameters existed for him then. If the situation had been different on the ground, I'm sure he would have gone there. But it wasn't the time for him to be there, and I will stand by that statement for a long time. Now, the question today is quite different. You know, if he had another 18 months or so, I'm sure that he would get there. But during the time that all of this came up, it was not politically the time for him to go there, because we weren't even sure Nigeria was going to be able to get to having a free, a fair, and democratic election process.
Okay, I'm going to throw this question and hear your take, but President Obama has always said that being on the right side of, he talks about being on the right side of history. But do you think, from an African perspective, Professor Kwaku, that history will be kind to President Obama?
History will be fair to him. I think that because Africans take a long view of things, and as Ngozi said, Barack Obama has shown respect for the continent, which is not something that we take for granted, because we've gone through experiences where Africa was always treated as an insignificant part of the world. So that's important, that Africa, he shows that he respects Africa, and that's important, that's not small. If the seeds that he has planted, the leadership seeds that he's planted, if those yield the fruits that we expect, then we can look forward to a future generation of African leaders who were inspired by Barack Obama, either because they participated in YALI, or they came to Washington as Mandela Fellows, or they simply saw him on TV and said, I want to be like that man. So the future, we don't know yet what's going to happen. And as I keep saying, we have to make sure that these seeds don't die. We have to water them. We have to cultivate these dreams.
Ambassador Robin Sanders, domestically, the African-Americans are already nostalgic about President Obama leaving office. He's the first African-American president. And there's that feeling, well, our brother is leaving, our son. How do they feel? Did they see him as one who made an impact, especially for the African-Americans?
The whole phrasing of he's the first African-American president, I've always pushed back on. He is the president of the United States who is an African-American. And so he was the president for every American, not just a particular minority group. And I am really hopeful that we will see that kind of thing going forward. So I do think that, just similar to some of the comments that we've heard today, I do think that there was an expectation, unrealistic expectation, for things that the president we're going to be able to do for various groups, particularly African-American groups. But he has done a lot. I mean, in terms of the economy, in terms of my brother's keeper, Mrs. Obama is phenomenal in terms of her work with at-risk groups, particularly young girls, not only in Africa, but certainly here in the United States. So I think that, legacies are about what people talk about once you've moved on. And I do think that history will be not only fair to him, but I think it'll be kind to him in some ways that we don't see today. And, going forward, we have a new administration. I take the view that we have to give this new administration a chance. We have to engage. We even need to voice who we think needs to be the Assistant Secretary of State for Africa. We can't disengage. This is the U.S. Mm-hmm. Democracy is not about everyone having the same opinion.
I think you've been very fair, all of you, to the president's legacy. Let's take it there. We will have to leave it there for today. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders, Professor Kwaku Nwoma, and Ngozi Bell, and to all our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you very much for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Buddy. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa, and a very good night from our VOA global headquarters here in Washington.
I'm Roger Muntu with Washington Forum. This is VOA. Follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Washington Forum.